All right, our opening scripture is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. Isaiah 40, 29. Most of you are probably more familiar with verse 31, but I backed up a little bit because that was the part that really... It really spoke to me this week. I'll read it and expound on that a little bit. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. In the Amplified Bible, he says, he gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. And before I get into the really nuts and bolts of this, from the time Christianity was, it's been the target, if you will, of times of captivity, really hard times. Christians were crucified by the Romans in the early days of the faith, if you go back and study church history. And it was a time of great duress for the church. And I say the church, the overall body of Christ. And it was always under attack, always under assault. And people suffered tremendously. And Jesus gave us that. He said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. And I know the present day church doesn't like to talk about all of that. I would suggest taking a trip to Nigeria sometime or to China. And you think about the church under great duress and persecution. Maybe not so much here. We don't see that as much. But you don't have to open your eyes very far to see what's going on in the world. And the strain and the pressure on these believers. And it's like, it's costly to follow the Lord. And, you know, Jesus tried as best as he could to make it as difficult as possible when he talked about taking up your cross. Because to the early church, that meant crucifixion. And so it means death to yourself, but you sow your life into the lives of others. So from the faith perspective, in the history of the church, that's always been the mission, one reaching another. Christianity expands by the word of our mouths, the words of witnesses who give testimony. And so a few things that we go down through, if you think about the early church and where we are today, here are some things that Jesus... I want to just read you these. These were some of the standards that Jesus challenged. He said, if you follow me, you need to be prepared because there's going to be times it's not always going to be easy. It's always worth it, but it's not always going to be easy. And I imagine that each one of you have at least a time of remembrance in your faith walk that it wasn't easy. There were times that came in your life, wasn't there? And we kind of don't talk about it much because we know it came with the package, if you will. There's times that it's going to be hard. Different living conditions, even within people's homes. It's very hard sometimes. What if you're the only believer in a household? And that's not an easy thing. And so there are several things that we... just want you to consider these things. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your closest friends? Only you can answer that question. Because this is the gospel. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? You think that's easy? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your reputation? You know, Don and I, we do this every, I don't know, it just seems like we refer to this. He lost his reputation in my eyes. He wasn't the same person. And neither are you. When you came to Christ, there were people that thought you fell out of a tree and bumped your head because they don't understand. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? See, we're coming into where this scripture, this opening scripture, is going to take on, hopefully, a new depth of understanding for you today, because maybe you hadn't looked at it in the light of the history of the church and how much benefit. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? We don't go out and deliberately do stupid stuff, but the risk is there. And I've stayed in people's homes with them who some of their family lost their life for the sake of the gospel. So I know the heart of that. And to fellowship and to stay in people's homes where that's happened. And I already know that one year there was a kidnapping plot against me, and I came back and told you that afterwards, after I came home and didn't say anything for a few weeks. I always know there's a risk in places that I go in India and where Wayne is right now. Wayne is in the northeast corner up near Bangladesh. There's a tremendous amount of persecution of the church in that area. And so he knows the risk too. But you can't not go. If you're called to go, you can't not go. And there's a risk that you could lose your life. Sorry, Bobby Jean, I just have to finish and then it'll be your turn. We're cool. You know, she always has a testimony, so I love it. And so in light of that, if you were able to put yourself in the place of people who are brothers and sisters, I found out one year, you know, we all put Christmas lights on our trees if you have a Christmas tree, or on your house and all. Do you know in China, Christians are rounded up and put in slave labor camps in China, and one of the things they're required to do is to make Christmas tree lights so that we can put them in our homes. Yeah, Christmas lights. And you have to get the spirit of this word for the impact that God wants us to have. He said he gives power to the faint. You know, I've having been in the military, and Ken and some others in the congregation that are veterans, you know people who served in combat areas and wartime, and how the tactics of the enemy are to wear you down until you have no resistance left, and then you're overcome by the enemy in a physical war, in a time where prisoners of war, one of the tactics of the enemy is to continuously beat on them, sometimes physically, but emotionally, until, and sometimes it even happens in a home. I know people right in this area who've been the wife of a non-believing husband, and she would come here and get really built up and then go home and get beat up and beat down all the rest of the week, to the point where you almost want to give up. And now that we've set the groundwork, now you can understand the meaning of what God has to offer to that person or persons. He gives power to the faint. Who are the faint? Enduring spiritual attacks to the point of battle fatigue. Anybody been there spiritually to have to? Yes. See, so if you're the only one in the congregation that can relate to this, then I'm really glad you came today. Because, you know, then eventually you get down to those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up on wings with eagles. You know, so we're getting to that point. But before that, before you learn to mount up, before you learn that there's an escape, there's a place of refuge for you, there's a place to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be built up, and to not be torn down. If someone tears you down every day and beats on you verbally, boy, that's really hard to live under that. It really is. And you don't have to be a soldier in a war. You're a soldier of the cross. And there are times you're going to just for your stand that you take in your home, there's going to be a price to be paid for that. So where do you go? Where do you get built back up? The weariness of continual warfare, a constant assault that a believer can come under, designed by the enemy to wear you down and eventually overcome and conquer you. That's the object of what the enemy wants to do. But God has made an escape, if you will, an escape hatch. And you have no strength to resist sometimes if it goes to that extent. And so there's power available. You have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in every one of you as a believer. There is no greater power. You could put all the nuclear bombs in the world together and blow this place to smithereens, but there is nothing more powerful than the Holy Spirit who created everything that God spoke going all the way back to Genesis. God had a vision, but it was just a vision until he spoke it. And he gave the Holy Spirit something to work with. And you have to see yourself just like that. If you have a vision to be free, if you have a vision to amount to anything in your life for the kingdom of God, and what is your purpose to be fulfilled, there is something mighty inside of you, but you got to speak it out and give and confess that and give the Holy Spirit something to work with to start bringing those things to pass. Otherwise, they're a vision and they go as a vision, but nothing happens with it. Learn to put that in action and learn to realize that your vision is to be free. Those are the things that God has provided for us, but the power comes from realizing that you're not alone in this faith walk. You've got brothers and sisters all over the world. But you have the greater one who dwells within you. And that's got to be your source of power and strength. Have you ever physically worked to the point where you couldn't shovel another shovel full of snow? You couldn't walk another mile? And you're all out of strength. Now apply that spiritually. There is a source of power that you draw upon when this earth suit wants to just lay down and call it quits. And that's the kind of depth that I'm thinking about to the writer, because at the time this was written, look how many times Israel had strayed away from the Lord and went into captivity and slavery, and they were beaten and mistreated, malnourished and weak in their bodies. And yet this beautiful psalm was written that one day they'd be able to read and see that that's their source of strength, and that's our source of strength. So no matter what things look like, you know, coming into the new year, to me, I see a God that doesn't change. What he does change is he changes us, and we have to be willing to let that happen. And to them that have no might, no stature particularly, no big name, no fame or fortune to get you out of a bad situation, but it's the Lord himself who is going to lift us up. We talked about the miry clay last week, about how it sticks and it can hold you in a place of bondage until you learn that Jesus Christ has made you free. And you can step out of that and let him lift you up. He increases your strength. He doesn't just strengthen you, but he increases that strength. And it multiplies. It abounds. There's an unending source. Sometimes just hearing, even in your spirit, one verse of scripture. You've been seeking the Lord for a word, and somebody speaks it. Or you pick up your Bible for yourself, and there'll be a verse that speaks to you to give you strength. Some of you may be facing, and you know it, some rough days ahead. You got to do something you didn't want to do. You got to go somewhere you didn't want to go. But you got to look at it as a mission from the Lord. And then it's all about our attitudes. So many times, if we cop a bad attitude, that's what our day's going to be like. But if we look at it as an opportunity to be a witness. I was rejoicing last week. You know, I talk about the born again priest because that's my ongoing testimony that I've shared with you, so that you can kind of walk his life before yourselves. Every week, God's given him a church to preach in since he became born again. It is. You know, he said, 30 years I didn't have any place to preach. He gets saved, and every week he's got a place to preach now. I mean, that should be an encouragement. You know, he said, I studied religion for 30 years, and I was really good at it. And then one day the Lord spoke to him, and it's not about religion, it's about relationship. The Holy Spirit came to him and spoke to him in his home. And he's been a changed man ever since. So, endure for a while if you're dealing with an unsaved person in your family, someone who's ragging on you about your faith. Just get a different attitude. And know that the Lord is going to see you through it and bring you back to the top where you belong. He said, we're above only and not beneath, we're the head and not the tail. Well, that's you. So today, don't let any discouragement get you down to the point where the enemy just wants to have a field day with you. And always remember, before you get to that point, I have a couple of markers in the house. And you can take your shoe off and just print Jesus on the bottom of your shoe so that everywhere you go, and he looks up at you, Trump, 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 right on his head. And he sees the name of Jesus on the bottom of your foot, and he knows that you belong to him and that you walk in power and authority and right standing and in a right place and fulfilling your ministries that God has called you to do. That's the power. That's the strength. When you're weak, he gives you that strength. Sickness might have captured you for 2 or 3 weeks. We got to not talk about the symptoms, but talk about the solution. And keep confessing you've been healed by the stripes that Jesus bore on the cross for you. And no matter how many times you say it until it happens. Because if we keep confessing symptoms, that's what we get. We're going to come back to our word teaching. See, if you think I forgot about that, I haven't. We still got a ways to go. But those are all helpful tools. It strengthens us to speak the word, to talk the word, to read it, to come together like this in testimony times and just speak to each other. And when we have huggy break, you know, that might be the only hug somebody got this week. Make it a good one. Because whatever we do, we're to do in love, isn't it? Yes, Charlena. Well, Wally has been called to be a trumpet to our nation to wake it from its slumber. So as Christians, we've got to we've got to see things differently, because like you, you could get beat down, and you know, but we have, in response to what God has provided, that's got to be our go-to to help us.
Well, I'm reminded of our good friend Charlie, who stands on the street even in cold, windy weather. He'll wear a snowsuit and be bundled up with a bright red face. But Charlie, who holds the cross up and signs about Jesus, mm-hmm. and people who stop and get saved and cry and get delivered from things as he prays for them. But, you know, many times the people who go by, they're cursing him. And he's actually had the thoughts that, you know, you have road rage, and he's had the thoughts he could be shot,
yep.
or run over or anything, because some people really get upset. But he just has to lay that down, and he's laid his life down. He says he's still going to stand there and witness about Jesus.
See, when you know where it's coming from and why, that's the other part of this. you see it from a different perspective. You know, in India, there's always a feud between the Muslim religion and the Hindus and the Christians. It's kind of a mishmash of population. But what wins people to Christ is when a believer is willing to put his life on the line for his faith. That speaks volumes to the attackers. If you're willing to believe in Jesus that much, that you're willing to put your life on the line for him, that speaks. No other religion is like that. None whatsoever. But if it draws that much opposition, then that's the side we need to be on, because that's the Spirit of Christ at work in you.
That's what converted Rome.
That's absolutely right. Yes. So be of good cheer. I didn't mean to be Debbie Downer with the word today, but, you know, we got to be real with each other too. I don't always come and make everybody quote-unquote feel good. I like to just be real. And, you know, if we're real with each other, we can take words like this, and the next time we start seeing ourselves getting worried, not worried, but wearied. Prayer also. There's no law against praying, as long as you don't pray out loud in some places. You know, but there are ways that God has made for us, and we need to utilize them and take full advantage of them. All right, well, greet each other if you